with us on this side. I don't think it matters.
What's going? No. I'm not doing it today. Joe, you know how the opening starts. Hit him, world heavyweight champion.
I get the honors this time.
Start
That's
it off. You
crazy.
know how I start, man.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome to the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka the Whip Show.
There you go. There it is.
I
There
like
it
it.
is,
I
man.
like
Let's
it.
go.
Like it.
I had to bring the team in for this one, man. It's a very special episode. And like you said, it's the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast. We're going to talk about, well, before I do that, y'all know what to do. Like the page, like the post, share it, tag your friends. And also, you know, we're on radio now. So Toledo 419, what up? Glass City, you got us right on 106.1 WAKT. FM Toledo's community radio station. Well, like I said, for this show, I had to do something real special. I had to go get the team. And you know what? I thought it might be too late for this. But dear my guy, the professor said, we got to show love to this icon, this legend, the man they call Sting. So today's episode is straight up a Sting appreciation episode. And I brought the professor on and the world heavyweight champion, Mr. Joe Walker. Fellas, how y'all feeling today, man?
Oh, I'm feeling great. What's going on? I'm hyped with it. Let me hear my intro music.
I don't know if we can play that. We don't want to get banned on the radio too, though,
I'm
dog.
sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh,
Man.
man. And I'm going to
Oh,
tell
my
you why.
goodness.
He's very
What?
geeked up for this, man, because again, he was the one to call for this one because he knows a whole lot about this man, the man they call Sting, and he got some very personal stories, and we're gonna get into it in a second. But Mr. Joe Walker, how you doing, my guy?
I'm good, Whip. I'm good. I'm glad to be a part of this episode. It's an excellent idea by the professor. I also got some personal stories to share as it relates to the Stinger, his retirement, the magnitude of his career, man. It hits in a very special place for me, man. I'm hoping
Man,
that one day I get to meet Mr. Borden face to face so I can tell him just how integral he's been in my love of professional wrestling, man. It goes way back.
now wait a minute. Do you want to meet the face paint Sting, or do you want to meet Sting, just Steve Borden? Which one?
You know what? I don't. It doesn't matter if he's got his face painted as Sting or if he's just Steve Borden. Either iteration of the man is fine with me. What I would have to say to him is going to hit either way. It doesn't matter.
That's what's up. I asked that because I don't know if y'all know when you do them Comic Cons, they got to pay a different fee if they want the face paint. Just saying. And I ain't even mad at them, Sting. Get your money, man. But before we get started talking about our past love for Sting, I want to ask y'all, did both of you guys get a chance to see AEW Revolution in his final match?
Shout out to the 64-year-old
64. 64.
taking those bumps, Lord. If you can only allow me to be able to do a quarter of what Steen can do by jumping off, man, I'll be happy. Man, that he shout out to him, man. He was he looked like he looked like he could go another 5, 10 years, man. Straight
I
up,
totally
man.
agree,
I
man.
mean him, I think he's retiring. I mean, to do what, right? You know, that's the biggest thing that I have, you know, because he looks great. Him going with the Bucks, I mean, he's taking bumps. Oh my goodness, man. He when you go back and just watch like all of the great matches that he had, man, he was still looking like, you know, Sting, man, his last match, man, and it was really dope, man. I was really happy for him. But the dope part was his son's coming out, though.
For
That
sure.
was dope.
For sure, man. And I want to jump in right there. That was another thing, because at first I was like, him going against the Bucks, man, I don't know. I didn't know if Nicholas and Matthew was going to be the right opponents for him. But after I saw the match, I will give both of them boys this. They are bump masters, and they helped Sting look really good at Revolution, man. And like you said, the theatrics of that was amazing. Even when it first showed him sitting in the movie theater and watching back some of his old clips, dog. I ain't gonna lie. I know The Rock making fun of Cody for crying, but I was a little bit about to tear up just a little bit myself, man. And then when he came out with his sons, oh my God, it hit a moment. But I'm with you, Professor. I don't know if Sting couldn't go another 4 or 5 years if he really wanted to, man. Joe, what did you think about it, dog?
Thought it was amazing, man. It was highly emotional, man. The whole, all of it. But Sting is that he's always been one of those in-ring performers, man, that gave his all, throughout every, decade of his career. So I don't see why this would be any different, because I think he's past the point where he was just in the ring doing moves, to where, now he's fully formed as a storyteller. He know how to take care of his body. He know what to do and what not to do and how to do it so he don't get hurt. I think what happened with him and Seth Rollins, that was kind of a freak
Oh,
thing, man.
yeah, that was crazy.
That was just a freak thing, but Sting can still go. And with the best of it, no matter the size, age, style, it don't matter, man. He one of them blueprint wrestlers. When you say, hey, I need to really understand what professional wrestling is about and how it works, not just doing the moves, man. And Sting is one of those guys, you'd be like, hey, yo, watch Sting.
Hey Joe, I just want to jump on that though. You talked about the Seth Rollins accident, right? It's a simple turnbuckle throw, and he injured his neck and back. And we might not have. I think it was a blessing in disguise for him getting hurt, right? We didn't get that, okay, glorious WWE run. We all wanted him to go against Taker. We all wanted him to raise a WWE title, but I don't think we have gotten the AEW run if Sting would have went the WWE route, right? Do you think that he would have went 20, what is it, 29-0, 28-0 in the AEW? They would have had him losing. I mean, they had him lose to Triple H in WrestleMania, dog.
Please don't even
Okay,
talk
come
about that. That is the
on,
worst
man.
call
That is
ever.
trash.
The worst call ever.
They could have had like a DQ. Like
And
something,
then he
man.
had the NWO come on to help him, which
All
is
right, man.
totally
That was just
non-canon for the.
they just did them so dirty, man. And you know what? That's Vince putting the final nail in
Oh,
WCW.
did you ever hear the story that they says Scott Hall, rest in peace, said, dog, who is Sting's agent? Because there's no way he should even allow him to get booked that way in his WWE WrestleMania debut.
Oh, they booked him so wide, man. I mean, he was just like, I mean, you can look at him coming out. He was looking around and he was amazed, but then he knows his back in his mind, he's about to lose. And it was just like, who, like you said, who booked this, man?
That's
Come on,
exactly
man.
what it was, Professor, man. That was WWE. I mean, he was the face of WCW. He was WCW's most recognizable and universally loved star. And they finally got him. They finally landed him. And it was their way to say, okay, now we about to put our stamp on Sting. We didn't beat all Nash, Hogan, Goldberg, Booker T, Buff Bagwell. The list goes on. You run them all down. Diamond Dallas Page, Billy Kidman, Rey Mysterio, all of them went through the gauntlet. All of them. Sting was the last one.
You're right.
Sting
You're
was the
right.
poster boy. And it's like,
They
okay.
literally destroyed everybody that was came from WCW. And even a few guys like Booker T and Rey Mysterio that ended up having a good career in WWE, they had to get destroyed and rebuilt WWE style. And I know it's not about them, but it's about Sting, but it definitely coincides. But
But
speaking of that,
hold on.
oh, go
Before we
ahead, go
move
ahead.
on, I want to stick with this for a second, though, if we can. I want to relate what was happening with the Young Bucks in this match as to what happened with Sting in WrestleMania, and him facing Triple H. And everybody kept saying why. It was a few people saying there was no story there, and I don't think people looked deep enough into it. I was waiting for somebody to say it, and nobody was saying what I was hoping would be said. The Young Bucks took the authority role because that's what Sting faced in WrestleMania and lost. And people had so much backlash against that. So they took that role, and Sting overcame it and won in his final match, because WWE, that was supposed to be his last match, right? That was supposed to be his send-off. Like he even said himself that, he thought that would be the end. That, so you go out on your back. So he lost to Triple H, but you could tell, when he said it was kind of half-hearted, he kind of like, eh, but whatever. But the Young Bucks stepped in and said, okay, we're gonna tell a similar story, but we're gonna do it the right way. We're gonna give Sting the honor that he wanted. And that's what I had been waiting for people to say. Like, that's exactly what he faced at WrestleMania. The Triple H was the authority and was squashing everybody. Everybody was under the, under his thumb. Sting comes along to be the savior, but in that instance, the authority prevails. This
For
time the Young
sure.
Bucks
I'm so
stepped up with
glad
the
that they.
authority. Same thing, but this time Sting overcame him and won, man. That's how it should have been from the beginning, though. But
Yeah, I'm so
if you
glad
guys are
that the Bucks
watching, it makes
allowed him
sense
to
to me.
win, though. I'm just so glad that Tony
Yes.
allowed him to go undefeated, man. That's just they honor Sting, and I
They
think
did.
that respect all respect to Tony Khan, man. He's they booked Sting the right way. They didn't have him wrestle a bunch of matches. He wasn't on every week. He wasn't, he came and go. He allowed to. One thing about Sting, though, you have to give him credit. He developed a lot of young wrestlers. So
Oh,
like he
yes,
gave the,
absolutely.
I mean, I was just going through the list, man. I mean, you just think about like young Brian Pillman, man. He was working with him, Flying Brian. He tagged with him a couple of times. You talking AJ Styles when he's in TNA. I saw a highlight video of him versus Samoa Joe, a young Samoa Joe. Man, they were battling, man. They
That
tagged
false count
together.
anywhere
They
match
fought.
or
Yeah,
whatever
they
they
fought
had.
false count. Man, Joe double jumped off on the stairs. Oh my goodness. Oh man, I almost woke the house up. I couldn't believe it was a long
And
time since I seen that match, man. That was a crazy match. I mean, you
Sting made
talking
Joe look like
Dustin,
a
we
killer,
talk all
man.
the way up back to WCW. He was mentoring Dustin Rhodes, helping him come along. So, man, Sting was always looking out for the younger guys, just like Dusty and the Road Warriors looked out for him, how Ric Flair looked out for him. He did the same way.
And that's a really real thing that you said that, man, because I interviewed Black Bart, and that's going to post up on the station soon. If y'all remember Black Bart from back in the day with Ron Bass, and he was saying he saw Sting coming up back in the old UWF, and he knew Sting had it. That is a very straight question that I asked him, and he said he wanted to send his words out to Sting. But guys, well, first off, and everybody that's watching this live, please drop your comments or your words to Sting in the chat. Tell us your favorite matches with Sting, your favorite iteration of Sting. But with that being said, that's actually where I want to go now, man. Kanye, aka the professor, you were telling me that you go all the way back to 9 years old, Sting, watching Sting when you were nine. And a lot of people, they might have saw Sting in his later years. They might not have saw the Beach Blonde Sting. They might not have saw the Blade Runner Sting. They might not have saw a UWF Sting, but we old enough to remember all of that, man. But when you said at 9 years old, what did you see, man, that
Yeah,
really
man.
captivated you?
Yeah, you talking when we first got Barton Cable. So for those who are from the Detroit area, before Comcast, before Xfinity, we had Barton Cable. And we got Barton Cable in 1988. And the WTBS Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, 6:05. Hey, I see this guy come to the ring playing the music. I can't play it too long though. But coming to the ring with the paint, I'm like, oh man, that's a new Road Warrior.
Shout
I
out
didn't know. I
Metallica.
was 9 years old, man. And I was just seeing him, man. And I was like, this guy is phenomenal, man. And he was just he then I saw him. He was tagging with the Road Warriors, and then the Road Warriors turned on him. I was like, no. Like, no, he's the third world warrior, like, so just seeing his thing. And then like, you go back to, we talking almost 36 years ago, man, the big day, March 27, 1988, Clash of the Champions 1. I got it recorded on the VCR tape. I couldn't find it. I got it over here in this boxes or something. I have it, man. And I seen it with my own eyes live on WTPS. This is a pay-per-view that they were having every couple of months on T live TV. You know? And I seen the Flair. I seen him gorilla press Flair. I'm like, no. Boom, throwing him over the side. And then you hear he got him in a Scorpion Deathlock. And then you hear the ding, 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 ding. And I'm jumping around. Sting don't want a title. Nah, it's a time limit. That's the Sting I remember, man. That's the Sting, him and Dusty Rhodes battling the Road Warriors, man. You know? That that's the guy, man.
It's so wild because, like you said, from where we grew up in the Midwest in our area, it was all WWF. That's all
Yes.
we knew.
Yes.
That's all that would come to Joe Louis Arena and different venues in our area. But I don't know if y'all remember, every so often, WCW would go to Cobo Arena. The little bitty small, the little, it don't hold but 1,000 people.
I
It's not even
seen
there anymore.
Ronnie Garvin versus Flair and
So
Cobo.
you said your first knowledge of Sting was getting cable and TBS. See, with me, I was really bad. I would stay up really late in the at nighttime. I would wake up and sneak and watch TV. And there was a show called Spotlight on Channel 7. And it was WCW. And I don't even know if it was a whole hour. I want to say it was like 30 minutes.
On Sunday afternoons, right?
Yes.
Sunday night.
And I would see, like you said, I saw this guy with his blonde hair. And you know, see, Mr. Joe Walker might not know about this, but Kanye, we big dudes. So growing up, seeing the big fellas always gravitated to that. And seeing this
He was
big
the third
muscle
World
bound
Warrior,
dude.
man. He was the
Oh my
third World
God.
Warrior.
And for everything that I saw Hogan was in WWF, Sting was for me in NWA. And I actually believe that I saw a clip. I don't know if I saw actual matches Sting in UWF or I saw him in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated. But I know I remember seeing him before this. And I just was like, man, this guy is it. I could tell back then. But one, I'm gonna go to you in a second, Joe, too. But I also want to say this to Sting real quick. Because Sting, I will be tagging you in this video, so be prepared to see it. But Ric Flair used to always say Sting's biggest fault was that Sting was too nice of a guy. But you know, that's why I'm so glad the AEW did him the way he did, because it showed him he didn't have to be cutthroat. He didn't have to hurt other people's careers and all that to make his own. And he still went out with respect and on top, man. But
Absolutely.
World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Joe Walker, with you, what was your first remembrance of the Icon Sting?
I was one of those kids who watched wrestling here and there. You know, I kind of looked at wrestling, I didn't watch it. And my cousins, Lewis and Michael, they were very much into professional wrestling and they liked NWA more than they did WWF. And the match that made me a fan of professional wrestling when I started to watch regularly was Clash of the Champions 1. My cousin Lewis, may he rest in peace. You know, he was very, very big into Ric Flair. He used to make these homemade championship belts. He would wear a robe. He would wrestle kids at the playground. He woo and the whole thing. And then he went through this phase where, you know, every opponent was Sting. You know what I mean? Every kid he wrestled, he would Sting, whether they called themselves Sting or not. He would chop them and be like, "Take this, Sting." You know what I mean? So,
So dope, man.
when that match happened, you know, I saw how important it was to the kids in my neighborhood, man. My classmates and friends of friends. Like all the kids was talking about this match, Sting challenging Ric Flair for the World Heavyweight title. And they was actually placing bets and it would be arguments and all this stuff around this match. And I remember sitting in my grandma's living room, watching it on TBS, and was captivated. And I'm not just talking just the main event. I'm talking from the time Clash of Champions started to this match. Dude, the anticipation was so high. It was so high. And then comparatively, seeing cats like Big John Studd and Andre the Giant, and you know, the list goes on of some of the guys who were in the WWF at that time, who were their prominent stars, they didn't move like Ric Flair and Sting. they didn't carry themselves like Ric Flair and Sting. Sting, you know, Ric Flair came to the ring in the glittering robe, and it was just so much pageantry. And he just looked like, you know, the way he carried himself as a champion. You know, Hogan was cool with the tearing the shirt off and the music, I'm a real American, all of that. But his walk to the ring didn't move me like Ric Flair's did because of the pageantry, because of the music. It just hit me different. And then Sting, in contrast, he was so colorful, and then he come out to Seek and Destroy. Like, I knew rock music, but that the feel of it was so aggressive, and it fit the young upstart, you know, star versus, you know, the smarmy champion. You know what I mean? It just worked, and I was hooked. And from then on, that's what I watched, man. I lived for WCW Saturday night. I lived for NWA Sunday night, man. It was, you know, I would be running to get home if I wasn't home to watch it on TV, man. And it was that match that made me a fan of professional wrestling. And it means so much to me now because it was my cousin that brought me into it. And it hurts me that he didn't get to live to see Sting's last match. His last match he saw, got to see a Sting, was WrestleMania.
Wow. Man, I
That's
understand. I
man. Rest in
understand.
peace for a
Yeah.
classic wrestling fan, there, man.
For sure, man. Now, you guys kind of talked about your match being Clash of the Champions. I definitely like that match as well, but I'm gonna tell you, what caught me for real was Sting, and I was in the building. Halloween Havoc. It was the time that Sting thought he was part of the Four Horsemen. And whoo-hoo, y'all know what I'm talking about. Only Rick, they let that man know, unfortunately, Stinger, you not one of us. No matter how, and Sting should have known, because how many times did they beat Sting down? But he fell for it every time. And
Dirtiest
yeah,
player in the
you remember
game,
that Halloween
man.
Havoc, don't you? When they turned on Sting that very last time? That was, I think Ric Flair was the WCW Scorpion or something that night. Well, either
Oh
way, it
man, when
was,
he was the Black Scorpion, that was crazy.
yeah. And Sting fell for it, but you know what? The emotion, because like I said, I was a WWF guy at heart. I had never felt that type of emotional connection to a wrestler until that time they turned on Sting that very last time. They got the hot tag. Sting, whoever they was teaming up against, Sting is going crazy. Boom, boom, boom. Beating up everybody, bumping everybody. And I want to say out of nowhere, Ric Flair turned him around, hit him with that big chop. And they beat the brakes off of Sting, man. And but I tell you, I was, whoo. If it was my little 11-year-old or whatever I was self, if I could have ran out of that ring, I'd have had Sting back. I'd have painted my face, and I had your Sting. But that's the dope thing about him, man. He, like I said, Sting was able to draw so much emotion too, man. Because that's one of the things they say about the big wrestlers. You know, I mean, when I say big, obviously not see a vicious big, but stronger guys. It's hard for them to invoke emotion out of people because you expect them to beat people up. But he was so good at that working the crowd, man.
I
I mean,
mean,
and I don't even
just
know.
look at him versus Vader, man. Obviously,
Oh,
I mean, that's
yeah.
a
Oh,
dude.
yeah.
I mean, people don't realize, man, they had some battles, man.
Battles.
Van Vader, man. Oh my goodness. That dude, man, you're talking former football player, easily 400 pounds, man.
Easy,
Just,
easy.
I mean, he made Sting feel small. Sting was a
Do you
lot
remember
bigger than,
when
like, when you saw
Vader
Sting versus
debuted at
Flair,
Clash of the
Sting was
Champions,
bigger than
man?
Flair.
Do you
And
remember when
then,
Vader debuted at Clash of the Champions against Z-Man? And when
yes.
he came out with the Mastodon
Oh,
helmet on, how
yes.
people in the audience was scared, like they were
With the
shook looking
MMA
at Vader
gloves
coming
and
across
stuff
the
he's got on.
stage.
Oh, my goodness. And Sting, I remember, I wrote it down, man. It was Super Brawl, Super Brawl. Yeah, I remember the slam. All of that, man. He had some battles versus Vader, man.
For sure, for sure. And I'm gonna tell you,
Yeah.
Sting actually had a connection to Detroit more than people know. Because I don't know if you guys know, Sting changed his life up. You know, he gave his life to the Lord during his wrestling career. And there was a show that they did here, independent show, Detroit World Outreach. There an actual church did a show. They're in Redford, Michigan, right on
Right.
Telegraph.
Yep.
And they brought in Shawn Michaels, Ted
Yep.
DiBiase. It was the most, and Sting went and talked at the Word Network, which is a Christian-based television station. Sting was just like, really about bringing the people together, man. But with that being said, we know Sting had a couple iterations. We look at the back of Kanye's background. He got Surfer Sting. He got the Crow. I got that as well. But there was also the Joker Sting in TNA.
But hold on,
So,
before you go
go
there,
ahead, go ahead.
before you go there, I just pulled it up.
Oh, was Sting in Detroit
So
World
no,
Outreach?
yes, so no, just I went to go see for my birthday. My mom took me to Cobo, and I
Okay, Cobra.
remember I seen Sting versus a Steve Austin and Brian Pillman in the Hollywood Blondes. Man, it was Cactus Jack, Dustin Rhodes, Sting versus and Sting. And Vader wasn't even the champion. Vader was the champion. Ron Simmons was trying to beat him for the championship. But the one of the events was Cactus Jack. That's my favorite guy. Dustin Rhodes, we know as Gold Dust. And then Sting versus Barry Windham from the Horsemen, Brian Pillman, Steve Austin in the street fight. I remember seeing that at Cobo.
Do y'all hear that card? That is an amazing card.
Hall of
What year was
Fame
that?
card, man.
It was this was night. This is January 16th, a couple of days from my birthday. You had Ricky Steamboat, Shane Douglas. You had Too Cold Scorpio and a young Chris Benoit. He was just getting started.
Is an amazing card.
Vinny Vegas, aka was that Steve Hall? Scott Hall, right? That's Vinny Vegas.
No, Vinny
That was
Vegas was
Kevin
Diesel.
Nash.
Kevin Nash, yeah.
Kevin Nash was Vinny Vegas.
Scott Hall
Kevin
was
Nash was
the
Vin.
Diamond
Okay.
Stud.
Okay. Yep. And then, Johnny B. Badd. Oh man, they yeah, dude. This was a cool house show card, man. It's almost like a pay-per-view, and it was great, man. I can remember seeing Stone Cold with hair, with the blonde.
I do gotta say this too, man. Shout out, even though they ain't doing right when he was in WrestleMania, shout out to WWE for acknowledging Sting's last match on Monday Night Raw. I do at least appreciate they did that, man. Salute for that, because they didn't have to do that at all either.
They didn't. That
But
was
like I was
classic.
saying, man, even in TNA, one thing about Sting, he was able to reinvent himself so many times. I mean, the Joker Sting was absolutely amazing in TNA, dog. Man, it
It
was one
was.
episode. He was messing with Eric Bischoff, Hogan, and Jeff Jarrett. And he had like this black, it was like a cage, but he had something over it, like a curtain or something. And they thought, they didn't know what it was. And he forced Eric Bischoff to give somebody a title match because they were scared of how Sting was acting holding the cage. And all it was like a bird or a crow was in a cage. But like everything he did as Joker Sting was hitting, man. And as goofy as it could have been, he made it work.
Did.
He made it work, man.
Yeah, that was a different iteration for this thing. That was a little different. I will say, I think the TNA what I liked him is being the straight icon Sting, right? Just the suit
Whoa,
and
whoa, whoa, whoa.
tie.
Uh-oh, you talking about that? What was they called?
Main
The
Event
Mafia?
Mafia, baby.
Okay. And
Yes.
even that was such a different storyline because if you remember, the other four Hall of Famers were what? Heels. But Sting
Yes.
stayed face. And
Right.
that's so rare in a storyline like that. And they made it. And I'm going to tell you this. The way Sting did that and Main Event Mafia together, don't get it twisted. They weren't the bloodline, but I'm going to tell you, Main Event Mafia was one of the best factions that probably went
Yes.
under the radar because
Yeah.
of it was in TNA
Like
that ever existed.
let's spit the names. You got Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, and Booker T, man.
Scott
And then
Steiner, no
Sting.
Scott.
Scott Steiner. It's Scott Steiner, yes, but with the chain link. Helmet on. Oh yeah, man. Big Papa Puff. Oh my goodness.
Absolute fire, man. Absolute
And
fire,
don't
man.
forget Queen Charmaine. Let's not
Dog,
forget
and
Queen
Queen
Charmaine.
Charmaine. Yeah. And they were giving it to doggone AJ Styles and those guys,
They
man. Bobby
were.
Roode and all them, man. They were
So
something.
fellas, I want to start with you, Joe, before we, I know we can't do a long episode today, but I do want to start with you with this. What was your favorite iteration of Sting?
I liked Sting later in the WCW, kind of before it was over, where he was, where they kind of tried to make him a heel, and then they kind of tried to have him kind of blur the line, where he would come out with the baseball bat without the, without the scorpion chest plate on. He just had the black tights, in a trench coat. Sometimes he wouldn't even take his coat off in the match. You know what I mean? He would just had a trench coat on, and he started coming out to seek and destroy again. I think that was my favorite iteration, was a Sting, where he was just kind of stone face, the long hair, the black trench coat in the back with the black tights. He just seemed so menacing, and he just, I don't know, it's something about that, the way he carried himself at that time. I just thought it was like a very cool iteration of what he was doing, just like on that line. I enjoyed that. And I feel like that kind of gets underappreciated.
I agree. I see that. What, Professor, what about you?
1996, the NWO jumped on the scene. That was my senior year. You know how we were back in the day, NWO, if you ain't NWO is full life. That was my mantra. And when he it's kind of you can see the whole transition, right? And it took a long time for that to like come out, right? And then he finally debuted as the Crow. I mean, this guy, every week we would be waiting on, hey, did you see Monday Night Raw? You see Steve? Steve didn't do anything, but Steve was all the way in the rosters looking. Then when he dropped down, oh my goodness, with the rope and pulled out the bat, oh my goodness, I love that part, man. And I think that for me, I think that was a great time because you had both NWO versus DX type of thing going back and forth, and you would flip back and forth. You had the Austin versus The Rock. You had that stuff. That was a great time in wrestling, man. And like that in the WCW, WWF Monday Night Wars, man. That's why I love Surfer Sting as a kid. He was like the John Cena to me, you know.
That's a
But
good comparison.
the hardcore Sting. He come out with that bat. Oh, then he went with the red face paint. Oh
Oh, the
my
joy. Well, in
goodness.
fact,
Oh.
now I feel you. I must admit, though, I look at the Crow Sting as I look at Jordan now. Being a Pistons fan at the time, I did not like anything about Jordan. I could not respect it because I was a Pistons guy. But after he retired and I got older, I have to admit and respect what Jordan did. At the time, I was so NWO, I hated the fact that I knew some point Hogan was gonna have to lose a Sting, and I hated it. Just like I hate the fact that I know Cody's gonna get Roman. It hurt me so bad. So every time Sting came down and beat up 50 NWO people, I hated it. But looking back, man, listen. A guy that be able to not wrestle for a whole year, not even speak for a year, and still be over in a world where everybody gets over by running their mouth was absolutely amazing, dog.
And
Absolutely
he was
amazing.
sitting in the row next to God, and we would be like waiting, like, oh my God, what he's going to do every week.
You remember, like, literally, it could be somebody in the ring and they would put the light on Sting. No matter what was going on in the match, nobody cared anymore. They focused on Sting. And you know what? Even oh, so man, I don't know, man. So looking back, I think I do gotta either go with Crow Sting. I did like the Joker Sting, but yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Crow Sting also. That one was because it was just so different to anything we had ever seen in wrestling, man. I just don't think it was nothing close to it.
Man, I just remember him really the first he with the Wolf Pack Sting, doggone Death dropping the Giant, man. I was like, oh my God. And then win the tag team belts off of that. Oh my goodness, man. That was man, Sting had so many different iterations, man, that like I was just going back. Oh, I brought up a match. Remember when Dusty Rhodes got spiked by the Road Warriors? Y'all remember that?
You actually sent me that earlier.
And the Sting ran into the ring. So it was like they were going back and forth for a while, man. Sting versus Sting and Dusty Rhodes versus the Road Warriors, man. I just look at, man, those guys made him into what he is today, man. All of those matches, man.
You ever notice that you never hear anybody else? Nobody says anything bad about Sting either. Like, if you do a shoot interview, people talk bad about everybody, but they've never said a bad word about Sting. I don't think I've ever heard anything.
Shoot, Luger just said on another show that, hey, Sting saved his life, man. You know? And And if he ever was to get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, he wants Sting to do.
That's
You
what's
know,
up, man. That's
you
what's
know
up.
what? Hey, Whip. You know what? We didn't even bring up like his championship reigns, like the television championship against Mike Rotunda, man. Like you don't like people don't realize like we got the U.S. Express going in, but Sting has some battles with Mike Rotunda. He had some battles with Barry Windham, and those guys, man, when they came, you know, they was in the WWE and they came to NWA slash WCW, man. He had some battles with those guys. Like Sting beat Rotunda for the belt, man. He battled the Great Muta. You know, he battled Terry Funk. You know, people don't, you gotta, hey, the young guys gotta go back into YouTube, WWE Network, watch those matches, especially Muta matches. Terry Funk, oh my God, the steel cage with him and Flair in the steel cage, man, Terry Funk is crazy, man. Cactus Jack, the match was versus Cactus Jack at Beast Blast. Oh my goodness, man. Man, Mick Foley is crazy.
Okay, since you brought that up, it would be a good thing. It would be a cool thing to do and have a discussion about it is to actually go through the actual list of people who are in the WWE Hall of Fame and look at all the ones who had not a match or two with Sting, but had feuds with Sting. The list is
For sure. I mean, just look
partnerships
at
with
AJ
Sting.
Styles, man. People don't even saw like young, wet AJ Styles, man.
You touched on another one that was real big, and I don't know how I forgot about it. The match that Sting had with Muta. Listen,
Man.
I know Muta was already made in Japan, but Sting actually introduced Muta to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew all about Sting. I knew of Muta, but I didn't know much about him. But some of their matches was going crazy, man.
I
And
mean, just look
like
at
I said,
everybody. Look at the characters now that take like Asuka basically is a version, a female version of her, right? You
yeah,
know,
for
especially
sure, for sure.
with the miss, you know, Tiffany Stratton doing the doggone moonsault with the elbow drop in the corner. That's Muta, man. That's just
Muda.
like the big giant splash. Every time you see a giant splash, who do you think of?
Sting. I mean, that's the splash in the corner,
I
man. That's
mean,
synonymous
let
with
me tell
Sting.
you how hard Sting was. Bret Hart bit his doggone finisher, man.
Flat out, flat out,
Flat
flat
out.
out. And Brett, I'll tag you and say it to your face. I love you, Brett, but I will say it to you. I will have no problem saying that because that's real. You spoke of this before, Brett. One more time, y'all listening to 106.1 WAKT FM, the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, right here at Toledo's community radio station. But guys, I want to ask y'all before we get out of here, if you were to say a word to Sting, what would you say to him? If he was right here, you was having dinner with him, and I'm not going to say would you have dinner with Sting or take $50,000, but if he was sitting right here with Sting right now, kicking it with him, what would you say? No, but Joe, start off.
Honestly, I would ask him if he would find it in his time and in his heart to come visit Christ Temple Church and say a few words to my aunt and uncle. You know, because again, I wouldn't be the fan of professional wrestling I am without my cousin. I wouldn't be a fan of, you know, Sting and so many others if not for him. You know, getting me hyped to watch Clash of the Champions 1, man. And the amount of time and thought he put into professional wrestling as a kid to the detail he put into Create a Wrestler on, you know, the N64 games before that it became what it is now with the Create a Wrestler in video games. Like, I mean, my cousin was making the Dudleys and all these people with limited skins and options. And it was phenomenal, like the time and effort he put into it. Like he loved professional wrestling in a way that, you know, on a personal level, I can't compare it to anything else. Like he was the benchmark of a professional wrestling fan for me and fandom and loving the art of it, art of professional wrestling. And just to have Sting come to the church and just give some respects to my aunt and uncle, man, for having a son who was the type of fan he was and turning, you know, others into fans also, and him being one of those people in that match with Ric Flair that changed a lot of lives across the world that day. I just think that would be, I would ask him, man. You know, yes or no, I would ask him to do that, man. That
That's
would
what's
mean a
up.
lot to me.
I'm gonna make a clip out of that, by the way. This is gonna be part of my next reel. What you just said, I love that, man. That was real. I like that, dog. Professor, what would you say to Sting if you had him one-on-one right now, man?
Oh, world champ Joe. Hey man, I'm with you on that, man. I just want to thank Sting for first of all being a man of faith. I wrote some stuff down. I mean, he was a man of faith. And he stood on business on that, right? And he really helped a lot of wrestlers to get their life to Christ. And I'm with it, right? And then it's the same thing. I appreciate him that he was a family man over money, right? He could have made a lot more money going to the WWE, but he stood on business for as, hey, he wanted to be a great father to his kids, man. And as someone that was 9 years old, looking up to him, it's like, man, he was like I said, he was Hogan, he was John Cena, he was like all of these like mega stars, man. For me, I was just like, man, I just, he was family and faith, man. And that's how I live my life. And you never heard anything crazy about Sting, things going on, no airplane incidents, none of that crazy crap, right? He stood on business with his faith. He stood on business with his family, man. I appreciate you for being that, because that's how real men are supposed to be.
That's
Can I
what's
just up. Throw something else in here right quick before
Please do.
we done? Clash of the Champions won. Now, I think we need to recognize its importance and its historical reference. But yeah, relevance beyond it just being a professional wrestling televised event. Like, this is a cultural event now. This is an historic cultural event because we have to think about culturally how much it changed for a lot of people, for the television industry, for the professional wrestling industry, and for fans of professional wrestling, for people who weren't fans of professional wrestling, or people who are fans of just athleticism. I mean, you could look at it a lot of different ways, but that one event, it changed so much. It showed a generation of people sitting around a table saying, what can we put on television to get lots of people to watch that's going to resonate with them forever? What is that show? There's your blueprint. It's that. How can we make live sports more than just live sports? How can we take it beyond just a football game or a baseball game or a tennis match? It's to have you be invested in the emotional aspect of it, the character development, how it's marketed, all of that stuff, to get people to invest in it, invest their time, their spirit into it. That's the one, man. It's Clash of the Champions.
For sure. Now, real quick, fellas, that wasn't the clash that went against WrestleMania, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it was the
Yeah.
one that went straight up ahead with WrestleMania. Wow, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, man. Well, I want to get my words too, real quick, to Sting, man. And first, I'm gonna say thank you, Sting. That's it. I'm gonna say thank you, because one thing you also show, kind of like Professor said, you could have got a lot more money, but you just stayed loyal, man. And I really do appreciate that. In a world or industry where we care about the dollar more than anything, you did your full tenure in WCW. Even though WWE played you, you did your full tenure there. You did your full tenure in TNA. You did your full time at AEW, man. And I really do love the fact that whether it be in the video game, whether it be old videos or live wrestling matches, you gave to the people for almost 4 decades. I love that, and I appreciate that, man. Real talk. With that being said, I know we could go on with this topic forever, but we gotta put it in this box. We probably need to revisit this and do a part two one day. But with that being said, y'all want to drop a couple last words before we get out of here, man? Just stay. Anything else? Y'all good,
Man, get
man?
on that horse, man, right off to the sunset, man. I think that there's a lot of young wrestlers that still can learn a lot. I just hope that he continues to give back and just be honored, man, because he is the, he's a legend, man.
For sure, for sure. Enjoy your retirement, man. Well, I'm gonna get out of here real quick. Mr. Joe Walker, you know what to do. Let them know how to get a hold of you, my guy.
Follow me everywhere at Mr. Joe Walker. And please visit thisent.com and check out this podcast. And championship material is on the way. It's coming. New podcast, part of the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast Network. I'm very excited about it. Got several episodes recorded already. Got a new intro, a brand new intro that's different from the This Podcast intro, recorded by Najee from NXT with Najee. We got some, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be
Let's
good.
get it, man. All right. Man, you know what? I'm with that, man. I don't think nothing else needs to be said. But that being said, staying like you said, ride off into the sunset and enjoy your time off, man. For the web show, right here at 106.1 WAKT, make sure you also check us out on Mize TV. Watch the videos there on Roku. We on YouTube. You can listen to the audio podcast. Wherever you get your audio podcast as well, tell your friends, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend to follow the Whip Show podcast and check out everything. That being said, we'll see you next time right here on the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka The Whip Show. Take care, y'all.
You good? All right. Webb, you hear me? Did he drop off, man?
Hold on. No, he's good. Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead. No, I'm still here. Can you hear
Hey, listen, man. You know what? So I just pulled up Clash of the Champions and then WrestleMania. Hold on, here, what's my Roman number? IV is four, right?
me?
Yeah, WrestleMania 4. And they had a tournament. That's when Macho Man won the belt, man. So, I mean, you had all of these first round matches. You had a